Hello and welcome to the second podcast of the summer 2011 exam revision. Today we're going to look at the two types of volcanoes that exist and why they exist, earthquakes, how to measure them, and how we can prepare and defend against these tectonic hazards. Okay, so first of all, you need to know there's two types of volcanoes. One being a shield volcano and the other being a cone. Now, differences are caused because of the magma that comes out of them and the way it runs once it reaches the surface. Shield volcanoes, an example of those is Mauna Loa in Hawaii, and they tend to be very up to 250 miles wide sometimes. And the main reason for these massive volcanoes is due to the magma that comes out. And it's called basaltic magma, and it's normally found at constructive plate boundaries or the hotspots. And we'll talk about hotspots in a minute. This kind of magma has very low silica content and very small amounts of gases, and this means that when it comes out of the ground and out as lava, then it's very runny, but also has very little explosive activity. So these volcanoes are not as violent as the other type that we're going to talk about, and they're called composite or cone volcanoes. These are caused by andesite magma, and this magma has got quite a lot of silica in, and a lot of gases built into it. So when there is an eruption, they're big eruptions. But the main difference is how they look. They're not wide and flat compared to shield volcanoes. They tend to be quite big and traditional kind of volcanoes you'd imagine. This is because over time there's layers of ash and lava that build up with the various eruptions over time and have very steep sides. I'll put a picture up on the podcast so you can see the difference between the two types of volcano. The other kind of volcano you need to know about is hotspots, and again, this is Hawaii is an example of this. And these volcanoes come because the plates are very thin, and this allows for the magma to find its way through without there being an actual plate boundary. And as you know, that plates move, this source gets cut off after creating one volcano and moving along, so you end up with a chain of islands which were once volcanoes. So Hawaii is a good example of those. Your example of a composite volcano would be Mount St. Helens in America or Mount Pinatubo. I haven't really got time to go into the two different case studies, but they're in the textbook, and you can also Google those, and I'll put some links up in the podcast for those as well. Okay, next thing we're going to look at is earthquakes, and again, these are because of fault lines and plate boundaries that are moving and shifting, and when they stick together, they eventually build up so much pressure, this is released, and this release of pressure causes the earth to shake and causes volcanoes. Okay, so you also need to know how we measure the intensity of these volcanoes and earthquakes. And for volcanoes, we measure them using the Volcanic Explosivity Index, or the VEI, and this is measured on a scale of 0 to 8, and this describes how explosive the volcano is and how much material the actual eruption spews out of the volcano. For earthquakes, we measure them in the Richter scale from 0 up to around 10, although there hasn't been one that high. Right, so that's a brief overview of types of volcanoes and how we measure them. When it comes to your exam, you're going to be able to have to know about two examples of earthquakes, one from an MEDC and one from an LEDC, and you're going to use these to compare and contrast, because when it comes to how these countries can cope with an earthquake or a volcano, then they respond very differently. So, for example, if you've got a volcano that takes place in a fairly rich country, they're going to have better services, better planning, better prediction to prepare for these volcanoes. If they happen in poorer countries, then they haven't got all this equipment and backup ready to support the population if a disaster does happen. When it comes to earthquakes, we can't predict them. So it's all down to a need of already planned resources again. And if they're not there, then you're going to lose a lot of life from diseases, from poorly planned buildings and things like that. So I'll put links up to your the two case studies for each respective tectonic hazard. For volcanoes, look at Mount St. Helens for an MEDC and Montserrat for an LEDC. And for earthquakes, look at Kashmir earthquake in 2005 for your LEDC, and the California 1989 earthquake for your MEDC. And you can see that the death toll is significantly lower in MEDCs for both of these events compared to LEDCs. And this is just down to the fact that richer countries are able to cope with these disasters better. One of the main reasons for this is, if you've got the textbook in front of you, you can look at page 24 and 25, but it's all to do with how we prepare. So in richer countries, for earthquakes, we plan buildings that are a lot more stable, sway with the ground, have absorbing foundations that take the vibrations from the ground and stop the building from swaying in an earthquake and then collapsing. These, obviously, again, we don't have these in LEDC, so it's a lot more difficult for these buildings to cope with these kind of disasters. So planning for protecting buildings is one way that we can reduce the deaths, especially in MEDCs, from earthquakes. However, we're more adept at planning for volcanoes because we can look at certain signs for what's going to happen. So we can look at small earthquakes in the ground that kind of could trigger a volcano, or give a clue that there's something stirring underground that's going to make this volcano blow. Also, you can look at you can measure the size of the dome and the shape of the volcano, and if it's bulging or changing shape, then obviously there's a shift in the amount of magma underneath and the pressure inside the volcano is building up. The last thing is a thing called a tilt meter that we can put on to the volcano and measure precisely the changes in the steepness of the volcano. The final thing I'm just going to say here is, when it comes to this planning and preparation, then there's obviously short-term and long-term effects. Short-term being things that are going to affect people in the immediate aftermath of the event. So in both poor and rich countries, you're going to have a need for water, medical supplies, emergency services, shelter. Then after that, the rebuilding and getting back to normal, that's where the differences in MEDCs and LEDCs lie. MEDCs are better equipped and have money to build their places back together. As LEDCs, such as Pakistan, their earthquake, they're still suffering. So you need to know that the responses are different and the needs change after the short-term event. Anyway, that's kind of a brief overview of the whole of the Restless Earth unit. I know it's only a short brief podcast of two of these 8 minutes. If you've got any questions, then my email is on the podcast, and also the Twitter feed @ItNeilJog. So hopefully that's been some help. Cheers.